Praise the Lord, everybody. That wasn't just me telling you to do something. That was a command. Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Anyone glad to be in God's house? Anyone excited to be in God's house? I get happy every time I get to step into the house of the Lord. My grandma said he didn't have to do it, but he did. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way. And so I'm glad to be at Valley Church this morning. Before I get into my message, where are my youth students at? Where y'all at? Oh, I see y'all up here. I thought I saw Agnes over there for a little bit. I'm trying to catch all y'all's eyes. Oh, what a week, guys. Wasn't it awesome? Oh, it was not by my doing or Pastor Kai's doing, but simply by the love of Christ that he shows up. I was, even when our night of, whenever we were praying for healing, I said, why does Jesus heal people? Because he loves them. Why does Jesus show up at youth camp? Because he loves us. Why does Jesus give prophetic words? And why does he give giftings? And why do we have awesome sanctuaries and awesome? Because he loves us. Jesus loves us. And so I got excited this week that I had the opportunity to come and speak at youth camp. And it was just fantabulous. I won't belabor the point. Those testimonies. Can we honor the testimonies that just came forth? The Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so you students, y'all could probably tell while some of them were speaking, you go, they've got an anointing to preach the gospel. You could see, they've got it on their life to preach and to declare God's word. And so I am so, so godly proud of each and every one of you guys. I want to make sure I do things in order. I want to make sure I honor your pastors, Pastor Lynn and Pastor Renee. I honor you guys. I do not take it lightly that you've entrusted me to preach the word of God. I do not take that lightly, and so I honor you and I thank you. I thank you for the ministry and the church and the presence that you've stewarded so well. When my wife and I stepped in, we could feel the presence of the Lord. The intercessors were praying and were like, oh, the Spirit of the Lord is here. And so that's the thing. More than we're excited to be here, more than we're glad that you're here, we're glad that Jesus is here. And we're glad that you've stewarded an atmosphere in the church so well that he is welcome here. I want to honor my wife, the one and only Stephanie Brown. Oh, she's the best. My partner in crime. We got married. Yesterday? Yesterday make 3 months, guys. Keep us prayed up. Yeah. Having so much fun. The roller coaster of marriage has been amazing. I'm so grateful to God for her. And that girl was prophesying the paint off the walls at camp. I said, girl, what? The Lord was just moving, and we were so grateful for that. And I want to honor Pastor Kai and Pastor Abby. Can we please honor Pastor Kai and Pastor Abby? Oh, you guys steward the presence of Jesus so well. You have deep reverence and honor for who Jesus is. And I think in a day and age where people are more worried about numbers and growth strategies and how big their youth group is and how we can do this, you guys have a heart that before anything, you revere and honor Jesus. It is uncommon, and it's sad to say that it's uncommon that people have reverence for Jesus. Reverence for the presence, but I'm grateful that here at Valley Church, y'all have youth pastors and young adults pastors who have a deep reverence for Jesus. And so I honor you as pastors, and I honor you as my friends. I love you so much. You're my boy. Pastor Abby, I love y'all. Y'all are the best ever. I'm grateful to God to have y'all as friends and getting to be co-laborers in Christ with you. That's enough of the particulars, as they would say back home. I want to get straight into God's word. And I want to say this. If you came hungry, you will receive. The Bible says those who hunger and thirst after righteousness' sake shall be filled. I can bring a good message, but if you don't come hungry, you're going to leave empty. Jesus can walk into a room and he can want to touch, heal, he can do whatever he wants. But if you don't come hungry, you will not receive. I remember my mom, she would love taking us to the buffets. I'm one of four boys, and they gave us these nice, strong, biblical names, Solomon, Josiah, Daniel, Jeremiah, Elijah, Joel, and Isaiah, Joshua. So we walk into a room, and they're like, the prophets are here, the prophets are here. Okay, calm down. I'm telling you, I got called every biblical name in the book. I'm telling you, come here, Hezekiah. You know that's not my name. We're like, Nebuchadnezzar, don't you dare call me that name. Yeah, but they would love my family, since there's four boys, they always loved to take us to buffets. Because if you took us anywhere else, we were going to eat our whole meal and go, can I get some more? Can I get some more? But they knew, I'm going to take my sons there because they are going to be able to get all that they want. In other words, it wasn't going to be a food problem. It was going to be a hunger problem. If we got home and we said we're hungry, my parents were going to say, that's not my fault. You had all the food that you needed to eat. It's on you if you're going to eat it. And I'm here to tell you, the presence of the Lord is an all-you-can-eat buffet. And if you came hungry, you can get all that you need. If you need a word from God this morning, you can get it. If you need the Lord to touch your heart, you can get it. If you need the Lord to speak to your family, he can do that. If you need him to touch your marriage, he can do that. But my question is, are you hungry for him today? Are you hungry for Jesus? Is there anyone who's ready to receive from the Lord? Not from me, but from Jesus. Good, good, good. I grew up in a small little Baptist church in Charleston, South Carolina. And my pastor, any time he read the word, he'd make us stand up. The first scripture, he made us stand up. And he would say, if a judge were to walk into the room, what would they say? All rise. What does everyone do? They stand up. If you go to a wedding and a bride walks into the room, no one even has to say anything. What does everyone do? They stand up. Why? Because they want to honor the presence of who's walking into the room. And so I'm going to have you stand on your feet. We're going to jump into God's word. We're going to go to Matthew 25. If you've got your physical Bibles, wave it at me. Wave it at me. Any physical Bibles? Fast pass to heaven. I love it. I'm just kidding. Matthew 25. I'll give you a moment to get there. If not, I believe they have it up on the screens. I don't know if it was, who was on, well, I'm trying to remember his name, Jared, oh, his keys, I thought he was there for a second, I said, ooh, honor your worship team, they steward the presence so well, oh, thank you, worship team, the presence of the Lord, y'all ushered his presence in, cool, I don't hear any more pages turning, I think I hear one, I can wait on you, my friend, take your time, girl, take your time, Matthew 25, starting at verse 1, I love to read a lot of scripture, so I got 13 verses for you. I want you to catch everything that's happening in this story. I think it's odd sometimes people are like, 13 verses? I'm like, it's the Bible. We're in church. Yeah, I'm going to read the Bible. Starting in verse 1, it says this, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins, or bridesmaids, if you would, who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. Someone shout, no oil. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. Now, y'all students, y'all probably need to catch up on some sleep because y'all were up till 4 a.m. And they got drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, listen to what they said. Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourself. And when they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you that you love to speak to us through your word, because you are the word made flesh. We honor your presence in this room. We say, speak, for your servants are listening. Lord, I decrease so that you may increase. Less of me and more of you. Lord, I pray that they wouldn't hear me. I pray that they wouldn't be focused on me and what I have to say. But I pray that their spiritual ears would be attuned to what you want to say to them, what you need them to receive. I pray that they would be prepared and ready for what you have for them today. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Jesus, I need your help. I don't even want to try and do this without you. There's no need for me to even open my mouth if you are not speaking. So speak through me. I love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray and we all shout, amen. 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 Why don't you high five a neighbor as you sit down and say, the groom is on the way. The groom is on the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love parables. They're one of my favorites. I love the teachings of Jesus. And parables are fun for me because I feel like I have a pretty big godly imagination. So I love when I hear Jesus telling the stories and the parables. And Jesus loved to do this so he could break it down. And I think parables are cool because students love parables too, whether they realize it or not. They love when people give analogies. And Jesus begins to give this analogy, this parable of what the kingdom of heaven is like. And I want us to pay attention because he is speaking directly to us. He's using this parable and he's talking about 10 virgins, or what we would call in our day and age, bridesmaids. We just got married, like I said, 3 months ago, and my wife had bridesmaids who were helping her get ready. They were getting things in order. They were making plans. They were adjusting things. And the Lord Jesus, as he's declaring this parable, I need you to know he's speaking about us. When we read the word of God, I love how my wife says it. She says, everywhere you cut the word of God, it should bleed the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ is for us. The stories, the word of God is for us. They're not just for the unbeliever, they're for the believer. The gospel is not just for the lost, it's for us. The word of Jesus is for us. And he's calling us into attention of these 10 virgins who are really the people of God. And I want you to lean in because I'm going to be preaching about this, and I don't want you to miss what the Lord has to say. There's a few things that I need you to catch in the points. If you're taking notes, these are going to be 3 reasons why we miss Jesus. Now, it's not just good for me to just preach points. My goal is not that you just write down the points, but my goal is that you see Jesus in the message. And I want you to take these words, these things that the Lord has brought to my attention, even ways for me. I want to be the first partaker that I've missed the presence of Jesus. I've missed what he's doing. I've lacked in the area of awareness of how he's moving and what he wants to do. And I believe this story is good. The first thing I want to read is right here in verse 3. It says, for when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. Now, I think sometimes we just read through the story so quickly and we miss what's really happening here. It says that the unwise, they brought their lamps and it did have oil in them. But it says the wise also brought their lamps, but it says they also brought flasks of oil. In other words, they had a reservoir. They had something that was so important to them that it wasn't just going to help them get to where they were at, but they had oil for where they were going. Let me say it again. It's not just good enough for you to have oil for where you're at right now. You need oil in your life for where you are headed. You don't just need oil that burns bright right now and goes dim by the time you leave church. You need oil so when Tuesday comes around and you get in an argument with your kids, the presence of the Lord is still dwelling in you. There has to be a preparation within you that says, I know where I'm going and I don't need to just get by on leftovers and skimming through. The presence of the Lord is not just for a Sunday service. The presence of the Lord is for Monday on your drive to work, Tuesday with that argument with your wife, Wednesday when bills are due. The presence of the Lord is for always. And what we find is we have 5 unwise virgins who, sure, they have a lamp and sure they have oil in the lamp, but they don't have oil that sustains. Someone shout sustains. Yeah, they don't have oil that is going to sustain them. And they knew that the bridegroom was coming, but their actions said otherwise. the bridegrooms, all of them, they all had the same information. It wasn't like five got special ops, secret mission, and the other five were just left out of the loop. They all knew that the bridegroom was coming, but their actions did not line up with their beliefs. Let me say it again. Their actions did not line up with their beliefs. And I'm here to tell you, it's not just good enough to come to the front and lift your hands and sing of how good he is, but you walk out and your actions don't match what your heart sings at the altar on Sunday. It's no good. I love what the word says. It says, faith without works is, you know your word, good. It's no good to come here and sing the song to your heart's desire and lift up Jesus and then walk out in your life and your actions are a hot mess. You can speak in tongues on Sunday, but you can cuss on Tuesday. You can prophesy on a Wednesday night service, but you can't speak to your husband right. You can't speak to your wife properly. Your heart says one thing, but your actions look another way, and it's not okay. It's not all right. You want to know what breaks my heart is when you have unbelievers who look at Christians and say, if they can live like that and they have Jesus, I can live the same way without him. I'm fine. What's the point in believing in Jesus if I can do everything a believer is doing? It breaks my heart because people see the church of Jesus Christ and they equate it to Christ when it's not Christ. It's you. I was hearing someone share an analogy the other day. They said, if someone was running around with a Michael Jordan jersey on and they started punching people, you want to talk bad about Michael Jordan. You talk about the person hitting people who had the Michael Jordan jersey on. But the truth of the matter is, when you put on the name of Christ, you're not just putting on a jersey. You are walking with Christ Jesus living in you. So how you talk to people, people are going to say, that is Christ, because they're seeing the Christ in you. And some of us, we've done a bad job of depicting who Christ is. Our actions are so far from what our lips say. Jesus even, or the word of God says this, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Christ has called us to look like him. Christ has called us to operate like him. This is why we preach and why we say it is so important that we worship Jesus and Jesus alone. This is why the students are saying, I said it so much, Christ and Christ alone. This is why we have to look to Jesus Christ, because if we're not looking at him, how are we going to imitate and operate like he does? We have the virgins who have the same information, but somehow their actions don't line up with what they say. And real faith, let me say this, real faith is marked by preparation. Real faith is marked by preparation. There is action. There is a measure. You can see it. If someone were to look at your life, you shouldn't even have to tell them. They should be able to see it because of your actions. You shouldn't even have to tell people about your faith. It should be all over you. The way you talk, the way you dress, the way you act, the way you love your family. You shouldn't even have to brag about your faith. People should see it all in your life. I'll never forget when I played sports. Any athletes, all my students, I know I had an equestrian. Megan was an equestrian. I think, who was it? Porter was a wrestler. I mean, we had all kinds of athletes at camp. I'll never forget when I was on my JV football team and I wanted to be a wide receiver so bad. I wanted to be like the fast kid who's scoring the touchdowns. And everyone, though, wanted to be a wide receiver. There's a kid on my team, went to school with him. His name was Cody Mosley, slowest kid ever. Love him. Slow. Terrible hands. And I remember my coach said, Cody, why don't you try and be a receiver? And my coach would grab the football and Cody would run out and he would throw it at Cody. And the funniest thing happened in practice, my coach throws the ball, Cody turns his head, hits him in the head, and he claps his hands as if he was going to catch the ball behind it. I said, Cody, you have to at least put your hands up if you want to catch the football. He was like, okay, do it again, give it another try. Cody's just slow and he's uncoordinated. Said, hut, boom, ah, again. And I said, man, how many of us look just like Cody? The Lord wants to send things our way, wants to do things in our lives, but we're so unprepared to receive what he wants to do. We have no preparation. God wants to pour out in your life. God wants to speak to you, but you won't even open your word. God, I just need someone to prophesy over me. No, you don't. You need to open your Bible. Man, I'm just waiting on someone to lay their hands on me and anoint me afresh. I need Pastor Lynn to take me out to breakfast and just give me a word of encouragement. No, you need to open your word. You need to get in your secret place. When have you committed yourself again to prayer? Faith looks like discipline. Faith looks like preparation. If you're believing God for something, but you're not preparing for it, it's not faith. You're preparing for the Lord to pour out at your church. You're believing for increase, but you're living the same way. It's not okay. The first thing we notice is that these bridesmaids, the virgins, the five virgins, they weren't prepared. And I'm here to tell you, we must prepare because the groom is on the way. The groom is on the way. Second thing I want you to catch. Verse 5, it says this. As the bridegroom was delayed, someone shout delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Now, the scriptures tell us as the bridesmaids were waiting, the groom, they began to get comfortable. Someone shout comfortable. Now, I'm someone, I was preaching this to the students. When I'm reading God's word, I love to ask questions. Holy Spirit, show me this. Lord, why this? How? Ask questions. And I said, how in the world could they fall asleep knowing that the groom was on the way? And this is the only conclusion that I could come to. They must have assumed they had more time. They must have assumed they had more time. Sure, they were tired, but they were informed the bridegroom is on the way. So the only conclusion I could come to is that these bridesmaids assumed that the groom must have been delayed in a way that gave them more time to get relaxed, to get comfortable, to do their own thing. Maybe they were saying this, you know, the groom is, he's always late to everything. You know, he's always behind. So maybe we can take a 10-minute nap. And I think we do the same thing in the Church of Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. You know, you need to get right. But our faith is drowsy. Our walk with the Lord is drowsy. It's sleepy. It's become dim. I love when I see students who first give their lives to Jesus Christ because they are the most radical Christians you can ever find. Oh, they get turned up. They're like, I'm going to the mall right now and I'm going to go pray for people. I'm like, hey, yes, let's do it. I'll go with you. It'll be 12 o'clock. Man, I'm just fired up. I was just reading and like, I don't even know what I'm reading, but like, Jesus is good. They're like turned up. They have no theology. They have no like Christology. They don't have like eschatology. They don't have any of that. They just know I'm in love with Jesus and I want to meet with him. Can I ask you a question? I don't care how old you are. What happened to your fire? What happened to your hunger? What happened to when you used to wake up in the middle of the night and say, I can't sleep. I got to pray. What happened to fasting? Not to strive to earn Jesus' attention or to strive to earn his affection, but what happened to, I'm just in love with Jesus. What happened to that burning inside of you? When did you get drowsy? Because let's be honest, good things can make you drowsy too. Let's be honest, marriage can make you drowsy because you get so focused on everything you have to do and be the best husband and the best wife. And yes, God has called you to do that. But somehow your secret place got unstewarded and left behind. Sure, you got that promotion, and that's a good thing. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. But why did you go, I'll put Jesus to the side for now. I'll put Jesus behind me for now. I don't have to focus on what he did on Calvary for me and the cross. Like right now, the only thing I need to work on is getting this promotion because then I'll be all right. And your fire has gotten dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. Why? Because you've fallen into the lie that I have more time. I have more time. I'm good. Everything's going to be okay. I'll just do this. I'll procrastinate. Let me tell you, the Lord's got to work on me because I got a procrastination spirit. Help me, Lord. I need it. Someone told me the greatest nation in the world is procrastination. I said, that's me. Now, I'm a part of that nation. That is me. I'm in the front end of the line. That's always me. I don't know if you students, I'll preach to you students. Your teacher ever give you a project and they say, you've got 3 weeks to turn it in. And somehow at 11:57 the night before, you're up chugging Red Bull trying to type that 5-page paper out that you had too much time to prepare for. Yeah. My wife was saying this just the other day. She goes, people are wanting a new word from God, but they haven't done the last thing God asked them to do. I said, it's so true. We procrastinate and say, I'll wait. I'll push it off. I'll just keep on doing my own thing. And then when I know Jesus is near, I'll do it. Let me tell you, Jesus is near. Jesus is near. And I'm not just talking about callings and giftings and things God has asked you to do, because yes, you need to get on those too. I love the parable of the talents. The one who did not use their talent, it was lost. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. I believe in it. That opportunity you miss, that wasn't God taking it away from you. That was your disobedience. Don't get mad at me. It's in the word. Take it up with it. You know what? That's not y'all. That's the church down the street. That's the church down the street. Y'all are all on it. You're walking in your giftings and callings and obeying. But how many of us will push our giftings, callings, all of these things aside and not do what God has called us to do? Why? We've fallen into the deception. I've got more time. I'll do my own thing. I'll build my own empire. I'll do it my way. And then when I get done, when I get to the end of myself, I'll turn to Jesus then. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus is near. And I can talk about this with your giftings and callings, but I also want to say this. The real person of Jesus Christ is not just near on you obeying what he says, but he's near on cracking the sky, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we will be caught up with him in the air. That Jesus is coming back. I know we've heard it and we say it, but I dare you to turn on the news. You don't, let me tell you, the word of God talks about how close Jesus is, but the news says it even more at this point. We got wars and rumors of wars. How many wars can we name that are about to happen or going on or all over the place? Pestilence, sickness and disease. COVID-19 was not just a whim. It's in the word of God. I don't care whether you say it was by the government or not or a bat. It's in the word of God. See, earthquakes. It says that Christians will be martyred. It says they'll be killed. I don't know if you've been paying attention to what's going on in Nigeria right now. It's crazy. Crazy. For those who don't know, there is a mass murder and martyrs of Christians right now in the nation of Nigeria. Pastors are getting online and they're saying, my whole congregation was shot down. This morning, I opened up Instagram for a few moments, and there's a lady on her knees screaming and crying because she went out of town, she came back, and her whole family was dead in her house, her kids, her mother, her father. And she's crying out, and we're comfortable in our air-conditioned homes, in our air-conditioned churches with LED screens and lights, and we've lost sight of Jesus. How dare us call ourselves bridegrooms who are waiting on him and then we forget about him? How dare we forget that he said he was coming? How dare we do that? We claim we love him. We claim we honor him. We claim we adore him, but we forget him. And I think we forget that Jesus has emotions. I wonder if Jesus is heartbroken that we've forgotten him. I wonder if Jesus steps into our churches, if he steps into our homes, and he sees that everything is going so well and so dandy and so great, but there's no room for him to be there. We've got services and churches that flow so well, and they've got everything lined up, and I'm not dogging systems and PCOs. We need that. God is a God of decency and a God of order. I believe in that. But sometimes I've seen it where people have created so much structure that they've given no room for Jesus to be Jesus. You've gotten so good at your routine that the second Jesus steps in, you go, no, I've got this. I can handle this. I've got more time. Let me do it my way just a little bit longer. And I'm here to tell you, don't get mad at God for what you do and what you aren't willing to do. Because Jesus wants to show up, and Jesus wants to speak to your family, and Jesus wants to show up at your job, but you were too busy doing things your own way. the bridegroom, Jesus. He's desiring to arrive, but he doesn't just want to arrive and catch you off guard. That's why he told you he's coming. He wants to show up to a church that is spotless and without wrinkle. He wants a people who are so in love with him who say, I wouldn't dare doze off. I wouldn't dare forget about you. But I would even dare to say this. What it says is all the virgins fell asleep. Not just the five unwise. I would dare to say this. Even good virgins fall asleep too. Even good bridesmaids fall asleep too. But I'm here as the voice of the Lord to say, wake up, the groom is on the way. I'm waiting on a wake-up call. Let this be your wake-up call. The groom is on the way. And when he is come and when he's ready, he can't wait for you to go and run to the store and get some more oil. It says he shut the door. Don't act like you have more time because the groom is headed your direction right now. And I'm here to say it again. We must not delay because the groom is on the way. I'm going to call the worship team up. I'm near the finish line. I'm at my last point. This is the last thing that I noticed. Watch this in verse 8. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. See, these bridegrooms, they were in a pickle now because they needed oil in this very moment. And otherwise, they were not going to be allowed into the wedding. In other words, they were going to have no access because they were missing something. And so they had this thing that I love this word, but in this context, it's very dangerous. These bridegrooms became very desperate. Someone say desperate. Desperate. They had no idea what to do. They didn't know who to turn to. So they went to the people who had oil. They said, give us some of your oil. Like, this is an emergency. We're in trouble. Give us some of that right now. We need it. And I'm here to say desperation in the right time can be a good thing. For example, I love the woman with the issue of blood. Anyone know that story? The woman with the issue of blood. I love what it says about this woman. It said she had went to all the doctors. She had tried all the medicine. She had done everything that she could do. And when she had come and nothing else worked, she found herself at the feet of Jesus. She was desperate. But the difference between the woman with the issue of blood and the women or the virgins who were desperate is the woman with the issue of blood had used up all of their options when the five unfoolish hadn't used one of them. They were this one was desperate for a savior, but the five unwise virgins were desperate for a shortcut. The five unwise, I love them because sure they were invited to be bridesmaids, but that wasn't just enough. There needed to be a preparation, not just desperation. And I believe desperation is so important. Jesus loves to respond to desperation. But can I tell you, Jesus also desires to show up for preparation. I love desperation. Sure, you've come to the end of yourself, but I would hope that you wouldn't have to go to Jesus every single time with desperation. I'm just going to be honest. Oh, Jesus, I've tried everything. Why didn't you go to him in the first place? Man, I did this and I did that and that didn't work and this didn't work. Of course it didn't work. And the problem isn't that they didn't work. It's that Jesus wasn't the first option. When did Jesus become number 7 on your checklist to do? And then you find yourself in desperation like, Jesus, Jesus, I need you to show up. Why wasn't he the first person you ran to? Man, I'm struggling in my mind. And so maybe I need to call this counselor. Counseling's good, but have you taken it to Jesus yet? I'm an avid encourager of counseling. But guess what? The Holy Spirit is your greatest counselor. Man, oh my goodness, I'm struggling in my finances. I need to call every bank and get every credit card, and I need to ask pastor if he'll take up a tithes and offering on my behalf. Have you even prayed to the great provider? Jesus, I've seen you do it for others. Will you do it for me? You're struggling in your health and you've gone to 30 different doctors, and I love it. I'm so glad that you're like seeking out good health, but have you even prayed about it yet? I don't just want to go to Jesus with desperation because I haven't actually prepared for him to show up and for him to move. I don't want to be a church. I don't want to be a people who use God when I need him to move on my behalf. Rather, I want to be someone who's a laid down lover for Jesus who says, I've prepared for you to arrive. Jesus, I've rolled out the red carpet for you because you are worthy to be praised. I don't want to be a people who abuse his love for us. I don't want to be a bridesmaid who's just happy to have the title bridesmaid. I don't want to be a Christian who just has the title Christian. Man, I just love being a Christian because the term Christian nowadays is so flippant that anyone can be a Christian. But you want to know what the difference between a Christian who is just using it for a title and a Christian who knows him? It's a laid down lover for Jesus Christ who's got oil in their lamp, who says, I'm waiting for the bridegroom to arise. This is the message I came to preach. It's Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. Who is our bridegroom? It's Jesus. Who is our bridegroom? It's Jesus. And sure, I can preach it the best way that I can, and Pastor Kyan can preach it the best way that he can, and Pastor Lynn and all your great preaching staff. But if we miss Jesus, if we miss the person of Christ, we've missed everything. And I want us to be a church. I want us to be a people who it starts with us. I kept on saying this at camp. My pastor used to say a line. He said, if there's going to be revival, let it start with me. If there's going to be someone who's going to be ready, Lord, let it be me. I can't remember which prophet it was, but the Lord showed up. He said, woe is me, for I am a man with unclean lips. He didn't say, woe is the nation of Israel. He didn't say, woe is Valley Church. He didn't say, woe is the greater church of our nation. He goes, woe is me. Start with me. Jesus, if you're looking for a virgin, a bridesmaid who's ready, let it be me. I don't want to be someone who's not prepared. I don't want to be someone who believes I have more time. I don't want to be someone who wants to use someone else's oil. Because the truth of the matter is, you can't get into the bridegroom's reception. You can't get into the wedding on Pastor Lynn's oil. He's not going to be standing at the gate with Jesus like, oh yeah, he's one of my members. Yeah, he's a good one. He tithes on Sundays, you know. He's a good tither. Give him a good seat, Lord. None of that. You can't borrow someone's oil. You can't borrow your parents' oil, students. You can't borrow Pastor Kai's oil. You can't borrow my oil. And I'm here to tell you, my oil isn't even for sale. My oil is simply for the feet of Jesus Christ. You can't borrow my oil. I want to bring him my best. And I want us to be a church who has the same heart of Jesus. I'm here to pour oil on your feet. I'm here ready. I'm burning. I'm on fire for you. And you alone. I'm here to tell you, you must get your own oil. Why? Because the groom is on the way. Why don't you stand on your feet? Now, I love altars, and I love how the Lord moves in. Sometimes altars look like coming and kneeling at the altar, getting prayer. But sometimes the greatest altar is going to be right at your bedroom, right at your dinner table. Now, I can give you all the points and I can give you all the instructions on what it looks like to prepare. But I would dare to say, you know in your heart. You know in your heart. You remember what it was to be on fire. You remember what it was to have oil. You remember what it was like not to just get by day to day and like, oh my goodness, I'm just going to trudge through the mud one more day. You remember what it was like to wake up and say, oh my goodness, I can't wait for the groom to arrive. Sure, I could tell you to read your word more. Cool. I could tell you to pray more. Cool. I could tell you to get in your secret place more. But the truth of the matter is, you know it. You know it in your heart what you need to do. Maybe the Lord has asked you specifically to lay something down. Maybe there's been something that's been impeding you from getting that oil. Maybe it's a substance. Maybe it's a mindset. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's your own dreams and aspirations. But you've allowed something to get in the way of getting oil. And the truth of the matter is this. It's not even about the oil. It's about the bridegroom. It's not even about the oil. The thing that they missed out on most was not oil in their lamp. It was the presence of the bridegroom. Sure, oil is valuable, but oil is not more valuable than the person of Jesus Christ. We need the person of Jesus. Why do I have oil in my lamp? Not so that I can brag and tell people I have oil in my lamp. I have oil in my lamp because I want to be ready for him to return. When he looks at my life, I want to be ready. There was a time when the Lord convicted me so bad, and it frustrated me. Because the Lord, I was in my room, I'm reading, and the Lord walked into my messy, junky, dirty room, and he goes, Daniel, if I were to knock on your door right now, would you be ready for me to walk in? I was like, no, my room's a hot mess. No, Jesus, you do not need to see my dirty clothes all over the floor, books all open, dirty clothes hanging out. I probably need to vacuum the floor. And the Lord started convicting me. I said, Lord, I don't even want to have an unclean car, because if you were to need a ride from here to there, I'd willingly want to be able to go, come get in my car. My car is ready for you to arrive. Oh, that made me frustrated, because it was practical then. It wasn't just, Lord, I want to be ready when you're here. Being ready for you might be, I need to go sit with the pastor, and I need to examine my heart, because I've got unforgiveness towards my father. And I want a clean heart that if Jesus needed to speak to me, it's clean. And when the Father speaks to me, I don't hear my old father's voice. I hear the Heavenly Father's voice. That may be what preparation looks like. And that's hard. It's easy to make it spiritual and far off. Maybe your marriage is falling apart, and preparation is this. We need to submit to leaders. And we need to bring this to the Lord and be honest and say, Lord, our marriage is falling apart, but we want our marriage to be a place that is ready for the soon and coming King. And so I want to do this. I never want to preach a message without giving someone the opportunity to give their lives to Christ. And some of you are hearing like about this, these bridesmaids who are getting ready for the groom. But the truth of the matter is, everyone is invited to the wedding feast. Everyone's invited. And some of you are saying, Daniel, I think I want some of this oil. I want this Jesus you're talking about. I want to be ready. I want to be prepared. I don't want to wait until I'm on my deathbed to give my life to this Jesus. I don't want to wait until I get 60 years down the line and I go, oh man, I should have given my life. Today can be your day of salvation. Jesus can meet you right now. And so with every eye open and with every head up, if that's you, unashamedly you say, I want this Jesus. I want you to come down to the front. I'm not going to count to three. I'm not going to do something special. But if you're saying, I want to be that bride, that bridesmaid that's ready. I want to meet this bridegroom. And if that's you, if your heart's beating, that's you. If you're worried, that's you. Get down here. Don't hesitate. Get down here as quickly as you can. You know it's time. You know it's time. You know it's time. You know it's time. Come on. You know it's time. You know it's time. You know it's time. You know it's time. If you need to look over at your neighbor and say, hey, is that you? I'll go with you. Do it right now. Do it right now. Do you need someone to go up there with you? I'll go with you. I'll go with you. Come on. I'll go with you. Come on. I feel the Lord in this place right now. I can feel the presence of Jesus. Good. Good. He's not done. I'll go with you. Come on. Come on. Come on. The bridegroom is calling your name. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you wherever you're at. Wherever you're at. Wherever you're at. Lord, I thank you for these souls who came up here who want to encounter you, the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the one who hung on a tree, who they hung high, they stretched wide, they put nails in your hands, they put a crown of thorns in your head, they put a spear in your side, they whipped you all night long. They want to meet you, Jesus, not me, not this church, not the pastors. They want to meet you and you alone, for you, only you have the words of life. Only you can bring truth. Only you bring light to our darkness. So Lord, right now, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that's already in this place, that's already ministering to them, that's already touching their hearts. I thank you that it's, your word says your kindness leads them to repentance. You've been leading them here. You've brought them to this moment. You've brought them into this room. You've brought them to, you drew them. It was not even by their own doing, but you drew them to you today. And so, Lord, I thank you that because of what you did on Calvary, because of what you did on the cross, we now have access to you. We have access to the Father. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So right now, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is already ministering to their hearts as they confess you as their Lord and Savior. Hey, guys, if you came up here, I want you to look up at me. I want you to look up at me. Prayer team, if you're praying with them, can you just give me one moment? I want them to do this salvation. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Christ is Lord, we shall be saved. But when you pray this prayer, when you repeat this prayer after me, I don't want you to just say words. I need you to say them and believe them like they're your own. I want you to declare them as truth because it is truth. I need you to declare it from your heart. I can believe it for you. I love what Pastor Kahn said. I can believe it for you, but I can't believe it as you. You have to believe it as you, as yourself. And so I just want you to repeat after me. And we're all going to pray this together if that's all right. We're going to do it in faith with them. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I need your grace. Today I confess my sins to you. And I say, wash me and make me new. Today I make you Lord and Savior of my life. I believe that you died and that you rose again. I believe that you are now seated in heaven, interceding for me. Today I make you Lord and Savior of my life. Today, I choose to follow you and you alone, forsaking everything else, giving everything else away. I give my all to you and I follow you forever. I love you and I thank you. And today and forevermore, I am yours and you are mine. In your name I pray. Amen. Can we give Jesus praise for salvation? Can we give Jesus prayer for salvation? Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise, Jesus. You guys who are giving your lives to Christ, I'm so proud of you. Prayer team, please feel activated to continue praying with them. This is going to be my second altar call. And this one, you might not get as much prayer or laying of hands. Sure, when the altar team is done, feel free to do that to minister to them. But for some of you, you need to have an action connected to the word that hit your heart today. You've been distant. You've been procrastinating. You've been running. You've been hiding. You have not been consistent. You're saying, I want to be prepared for the bridegroom. I've been hiding. There's a calling that he's called me to obey. There's a level of honesty I haven't had with the Lord. There's things that have impeded me from his presence. And you're saying, I need to do this. I need to get right. I need to get some oil in my lamp. If that's you, there's a little bit of space up here. I just want you to come up here and kneel at the altar. But before you move, I want to say this. I don't just want the altar call to be you kneeling at an altar and you get your tears in and you get, thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you did. And you walk out and be the same. This is just a physical representation of a discipline and an honesty and a preparation that you're going to hold yourself to when you walk out of these doors. Some of you, you're going to come up to this altar and that's going to be good. But some of you, the greatest altar call is going to be confessing to someone that thing that you did and you need to get off your chest because that has caused so much shame in your life. Some of you, your altar call is going to be you need to get rid of some things. Some of you, you need to go home and you need to pour all of it down the drain. All of it. Some of you need to flush it down the toilet. Some of you might need to say, you know what? I've been going too hard on this one thing, and I have not been able to center my heart in the Lord. My job has become my main focus, my this, my that. And I want that. Sure, we're going to have this here. This is important. But the gospel is not just so he can touch your heart on a Sunday. It's so he can transform you every day. And so if that's you, I'm not going to count to three. Just get up here. This is a step of faith, of honesty with the Lord to say, I have been an unwise bridesmaid. I need to get up here and I need to be honest with God. I'm so honored that I'm already seeing a man of God walk up here. Father, some of you need to show your family what it looks like to be honest. Mothers, some of you need to look, you need to show your students who just went to summer camp what it means to be a laid down lover for Jesus Christ. A bridesmaid who's got oil in your lamp. Push past people if you have to, squeeze around people. This is a sign. Some of you who are up here, even if you just gave your life to Christ, you can even kneel and say, you know what, I need to get right with God. I need to get some oil. I need to prepare for this bridegroom who's coming. Cool. There's more of you. There's more of you. And some of you need to get over yourselves and your pride. Get over yourself. Guess what? Jesus doesn't care if you're cool or not or what people have to say about you. He didn't ask the bridesmaids, hey, why didn't you have oil? Like, what's going on? No. Some of us have to get over our own ego and say, when was the last time I was honest with the Lord and just came and kneeled before his presence? Come on. I'll wait just a little bit longer. It's a little bit longer. Thank you, Lord, for broken vessels. Thank you, Lord, for honest hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is there another? 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Some of you can feel the tangible presence of the Lord right now. He's been waiting on this. If you don't know what to do, just begin to talk to the Lord. He wants to hear your voice. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I repent. Lord, forgive me. I've known this and I've been running from you. I've been hiding from you. I've been doing good. Tears are oftentimes a prayer of our heart unto the Lord. If you just cry, that's okay too. The Lord sees your tears. The Bible even says in Psalms, he collects your tears in a bottle. He sees your tears. He hears your prayers. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray for them and then I'm going to hand it over to you guys, Pastor Lynn, Pastor Matt, for however the Lord wants to move. I don't know if you want to release them or whatever it is, but I'm just going to bless you guys who are up here. I'm so honored that I got the opportunity to preach this morning the word of God. But this is not about me. This is about the person of Jesus. This is about encountering him. This is about loving on him, being laid down lovers for him and him alone. So let me just bless you guys. Lord, I thank you for these bridesmaids. I thank you for these lovers of you. These people who said they want to be prepared for you, not just for when you crack the sky, but for when you want to speak in their homes, when you want to speak in their businesses, when you want to touch their hearts, when you want to touch their ministries, their artwork, their music. Thank you, Lord, that they have sensitive hearts to you. So, Lord, I pray that you would respond with your presence. Lord, as they prepare for you, I pray that you would draw so near to them. Lord, I pray you would speak to them again the way you used to, with dreams and visions. Lord, I pray you'd wake them up again in the middle of the night so you can encounter them afresh. Lord, I pray that you'd even call them into deep prayer and fasting and intercession, not for the sake of gaining something, but simply for the sake that they're so in love with you and they want to be ready for you. Call them back into worship, Lord. I thank you for their commitment, not just to come to the altar, not just to come to the front and kneel, but to be a laid down lover who has oil in their lamp. They have not just oil in their lamp, but oil in their flasks. Preparation, God, for where they're going, where they're headed. Lord, I pray that even as they prepare their hearts, that they would even realize they're not doing it alone. Tell the truth, it's not even a labor of them having to work and strive, but it's a receiving what you've done for them. Receiving what you've done. We don't have to work for the Holy Spirit. You said receive the Holy Spirit. We don't have to work for salvation. You said receive salvation. So Lord, I thank you that they can receive from you. Even their preparation is becoming more aware and receiving what you want to do in their heart. So, Lord, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would empower them. You said you're sending a helper. Let your Holy Spirit help them. Let them co-labor with you. Let them work with you. Not strive by themselves, but co-labor with you, Lord. Just pray your anointing over them. And Lord, now I bless this church. I bless Pastor Lynn and Pastor Renee. And I pray that you would pour out your presence. Lord, I pray that their inheritance would be an outpouring of your spirit. I pray that their inheritance would be encounter with you, Jesus. I pray that the inheritance and the reward of this church would be the slain lamb of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit that's already here. And I pray for an increase in this church. I pray for an increase in these families, an increase in the pastoral step. Lord, I pray that everything that you have for them, that you would pour out in abundance. Lord, I bless them. I thank you for what you did this morning, and I thank you that this is simply the beginning. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all of the good things that you have in store for us. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you. We honor your presence. It's in your name that I pray. And we all shout, amen, amen. Pastor Matt.